90% of the world's preachers for less than 10% of the world's population. Somebody ain't hearing the call. Somebody's not going. Okay? So here we are. We're looking at this thing. We're seeing a time when the nation was, it was bad. Here we go from the Solomonic glory. The time when Israel hit the apex of their historical walk with Yahweh. And as Solomon crashed and burned at the end of his reign, and his son was a fool. Remember Ecclesiastes, he said, who knows whether you got to leave everything as vanity because you don't know whether your son who comes after you will be a wise man or a fool. Well, his son was a fool. And he divided the kingdom. And then from then on, Judah had some good kings, but Israel didn't have one. Well, not one good king in that whole mess of the northern kingdom. And this is the start of it. It's going to end in 722 with the Assyrians coming down and taking the 10 tribes captive. Judah will make it another 100 and something years until 586. Actually starts earlier than that, but the last time is 586 when the temple's burned and they go into captivity. And so as we look at this thing, this is the historical background. A mess, just like our country's a mess. A digression from serving God. A time when I can imagine these prophets must be feeling much like we're feeling. Lord God, do you know what this country was like? Now my son has no clue what America used to be like. Some of you who are older than I am, you know what this country used to be like. It wasn't that hard to find a fundamentalist church as you went one from one town to another town. People who loved the Lord, and people who are interested in sending missionaries around the world, and people who are just totally dedicated to God's Word. So it's a message for us today. We could take this passage, we could apply it to us. Now, he comes and he gives this sign. We know that 300 years later, Josiah is going to do what this prophet said he was going to do. But he comes and he cries against this altar and the king gets ticked at him. Now, the reason the king gets ticked, and you can find the answer to this. Somebody go to Amos 7 and let's look at Amos chapter 7. And in Amos, he gives us a clue as to why Jeroboam got ticked. It started with Jeroboam. This is another king that Amos is talking about. But when you go to Amos chapter 7, there's a part here. We want to start about verse 10, okay? Amos chapter 7, verse 10. And Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, this is Jeroboam the second, king of Israel, and said, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. There you go. A fundamentalist, remember this is the guy that said, can two walk together except they be? Agreed. Okay, here's a fundamentalist. And this priest is saying, hey, we can't handle what this guy's saying. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is what? The king's chapel, and it is the king's court. This is where the religious stuff was happening for the kingdom of Israel. We don't want any fundamentalists messing around with what's going on here. Y'all ever heard anything like that before? I don't know about you, but I'm hearing a lot. You know, Pittman, why do you got to shake the tree all the time? How come you can't just be content? Why do you got to do this kind of stuff? Why do you have to say what you have to say? Why do you have to preach the way you preach? Well, people, I don't have any choice. I told God a long time ago when I accepted the call to the ministry that I would preach anywhere that I was asked to preach. I would go anywhere that I got, if it was physically possible and I was able to do so, I would go anywhere and preach anywhere that God called me to preach. And I would say exactly what God said. Now the personality God gave me. Okay? So everybody's got different personalities. And so the personality comes out in the way that one preaches too. Okay? But you can tick a lot of people off in a big hurry. Now, here comes what Amos says. Look, I love this. And then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. In other words, I didn't come from the school of the prophets. But I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Or one of my brothers said, I didn't go to Bible college, but I studied on my own. And oh, you're not less than anybody else. Amos right here didn't go to Bible college either. He didn't go to the school of the prophets. I was not a prophet, nor I was a prophet's son. I didn't come from the ministry. God called me. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto the people, my people of Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord, thou that sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of this land. It's going to happen, people. We're standing now. People are saying we need a revival. God, I wish it happens. I hope it happens. But I'm telling you right now, don't expect it. Don't get your hopes up real high. And maybe God will be bless us. Maybe something will happen and we'll have a revival, but we may not too. We may have to ride this horse all the way down. We may not have another horse to change to. And we may be seeing the time when we're not the super nation anymore. And this may happen to us in this generation. Or at least it's going to happen in the next one. So you better get ready. You better understand that God is still going to expect us to say, thus saith the Lord God. Not thus saith Steve Pittman or thus saith whatever your name is. Thus saith the Lord God. This is what God says. Now, God's message is many times harsh, isn't it? And when His message is harsh, what do you have to do? You have to say it the way God said it. And if you don't, what have you just done? You just watered down His message. Every one of these prophets in the Old Testament, did they suffer? Every one of them. Jeremiah finally said, you know what, Lord, I'm tired of this thing. I ain't doing this no more. And then he said, what? I can't do it because it's like what? Fire in my bones. Can't stop preaching. People always say to me something else. Would you do something? I wouldn't do nothing else. I wouldn't do nothing more than what I do. I mean, I thank God. I wouldn't trade my job for anybody else in the world. And I do the greatest thing you could ever be doing. I get to pastor and teach in a Bible college. And how good is that? Okay? I wouldn't trade. I got to do this on the mission field and I do it here. Okay, it's the greatest thing in the world. There's nothing like it. All right, so here we go. Here comes this thing. He says, this king comes to him and he says, you know, all right, he sticks his hand out to get him. Hand shrivels up. Man of God beseeches the Lord. Hands restored. Okay, we're down to verse 7. King says what to the man? I want you to come home with me. Refresh yourself and I'm going to give you a reward. Now, what does that sound like? If you can't beat him, join him. Man, we've seen that before, right? Every time we turn around in the Bible, there's lots of examples of that happening. You can't beat them, join them. So I'm going to tell you something. Here's where a lot of fundamentalist pastors get in trouble. We want people to come join our churches, don't we? Well, if you've got a struggling little church with 50 to 100 people, and one family moves in that's got 4 or 5 kids, that's a pretty good increase, isn't it? Huh? And you might be tempted to not check them out too close, huh? You know what I'm saying? And you might just be bringing a fox into the hen house. People, if you want to be a true fundamentalist, you better check out who you're bringing into your church. Because last time I checked, one of the Baptist distinctives was regenerate church membership. We're not reformed. We believe that people are supposed to get saved. And once they get saved, according to Acts 2, right, verses 41 and 42, then those that believed were baptized and there was added to the church 3,000 souls. At least that's what I believe. Right? So when we look at this thing, we're saying, hey, Come home with me, I'm going to give you a reward. This guy goes, the man of God said to him, if you give me half your house. Now, who does that remind you of? Well, there's another prophet. Balaam. Numbers 22:18. Same thing that he said to Balak, king of Moab. Remember that? You give me half your house full of gold and silver. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. Interesting, because Balaam was an apostate. He's mentioned over there in the book of Jude, along with Cain and Korah. Okay? Cain, self-worship. Korah, rebellion against leadership. Balaam, the love of money. Three signs of an apostate. Okay? So here we go. Come home, eat bread. He says, I can't do this. Now look at verse 9. Here it comes. This is really clear. What did God say? For so was charged me by the word of, and L-O-R-D is all in caps, so that means what? Yeah, Jehovah or Yahweh. Depends on how you want to go. I prefer Yahweh. I think that's closer to when I did Hebrew. But that's the covenant name for God right there. Don't eat bread, don't drink water, and don't go back by the way you came. Now, why do you think that got added? I honestly don't know. I don't know why God told him not to go home by the same way he came. But I find that many times God does things in our lives that we don't understand, right? I also find that Steve Pippen has this uncanny way of thinking, God, I'd sure like to know why. You know? And I know what he said. My thoughts are not, and my ways are not. So just, boy, go do it. He tells me that all the time. Go do it. I don't understand. I have got not a clue. Boy, when he brought me home from Brazil, I had not one clue why he was doing it. And I didn't want it to happen either. But when you're his servant or slave, it makes no difference whether you understand or not, and it makes no difference whether you want to or not. Okay? In fact, if you don't want to, it's because your heart isn't really right with God. Because if your heart really gets right with God, you say what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As he gave you in Gethsemane, he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. It's okay to say, I really don't want this to happen. Jesus said that. Let this cup pass from me, a far more serious thing. Separation from the Father over your sin and mine, right on the cross. You know, that's not like, you know, I'm leaving my ministry here that I don't want to leave. I don't know why. But he did. He did what God said. So he went another way and returned not by the way he came. Now, there's an old prophet dwelling. What kind of prophet is this? It doesn't call him a man of God, does it? What's it call him? An old prophet. Mark, I hope they don't call you an old preacher.
Some do.
Okay? I hope you get called a man of God the rest of your days. And for all of you and for me. But we can all fall. We can all make a bad mistake. And this guy, see, I want to tell you something. This is why I'm getting really serious about this. There's going to come at different times in your ministry. Some of you already know this. You're a lot older than I am. You already know this. There's going to come several times in your ministry some very, when you're going to have to make a decision that's going to decide the rest of your life. It's going to come a few, it doesn't come every day. It's going to come. Some very serious decision that's going to happen, and you're going to have to make a decision, and the decision you make is going to determine the rest of your life. And there's no return back from it. You make a mistake, and you never get back to the perfect will of God again. Okay? Can you get right with God? Yes. You make a mistake, and there's no getting back to the perfect will again. Because if God's perfect will is for you to be a pastor and you blow it, well, how do you get back to that again? There's no way back again, people. There's no way back again. See, the qualities that a pastor has to have are such that he has to be what? Blameless, morally and doctrinally. And if you blow it, you can turn off the light, the party's over. Okay? As Don Meredith used to say. Okay? For those of you who are old enough to know who Don Meredith was. Okay? Now, this is serious business because this guy is at a crucial point in his life right now where one of these choices gets to be made. And he's made all the right choices to this point, hasn't he? Another one similar to this was Moses. Moses is following God, and the book of Hebrews says he was faithful in all his house until one fine day when the people of Israel aggravated him. Okay? Now, have you ever been aggravated by your people? Then I was talking, who was it was talking about? He was fuming. It was you, right? Your wife just let you fume off. And, you know, yeah. Okay, my wife does too. And then comes at me with, they're helpmates, right? Okay. Yeah, my wife, thank God, she saved me from making a lot of mistakes because I would have said some things that she stopped me from saying, thank God. But I'm telling you, serious. You come to that point, and you got one shot at it, and you blow it. And it's all over. Here comes Moses, man. God says to him, I want you to take this rod, and I want you to go speak to that rock. He goes to that rock, and he says, do we have to bring water to you? Really? What do you and Aaron have to do with it? And God looks at him and says, okay, you know what? You know, here's a merciful God. Does water come out of the rock? Yeah. He don't embarrass the man of God in front of the people of God. He lets water come out of the rock. Then he has a little powwow with Moses. All right, Moses. Now, let me ask you a question. How long has Moses been leading these people? Almost 40 years. He's been faithful the whole time. He only blows it once. One time, people, that's it. One single time. That's all God gave. And I'm going to tell you something. We're pastors. We're people that people put confidence in. The Bible says for those people to obey us. Because it says we're supposed to have such qualities that we obey God, like as we have God. Christ is submissive to the Father voluntarily. So we should be submissive to our Lord voluntarily. Put their confidence in us, they trust us. And so somebody go, please, and read me Luke 12, 47 and 48. These are the verses my mom quoted to me when I was 17 years old and I was getting ready to leave Africa and come back to the States flying by myself. I flew from the Niamey Airport to Paris, France, spent the night, got an airplane, went to New York, got another airplane, went to Detroit. And then after that, some guy flew me down to Winston-Salem to school. I was 17 years old. Before I left, I'll never forget these words. My mom took me back into the bedroom, and she said, Steve, I want to show you something. She told me a lot of things that day, but one of them was, you're going back to a pagan land. That's what she thought about America in 1975. You're going back to a pagan land, and you're going to a Bible college where they'll be practicing all kinds of things you cannot do. You cannot participate in. Because you know better. And then she quoted these verses. What does it say?
Whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And of whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
Does anybody know how many times Moses begged to go back into the promised land? At least three times in the book of Deuteronomy. And God says, finally, last sentence, don't talk to me about this anymore. He didn't get a second chance, people, and neither will you. When you're called to be a pastor, it's the highest calling. God's putting people into your hands, and He trusts you with His sheep. They're not your sheep. You didn't die for them. I didn't die for them. He died for them. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. He said, I will build what? My church. It's not Steve's church and it's not yours. I will build my church. And then he allows us the privilege of being under shepherds. 1 Peter 5. You better take that serious. It ought to make the hair stand up on the back of your neck when you start reading about Moses, when you start reading about this guy, and you start reading about some of these other people in Scripture and things that happened to him. You young bucks, you better pay attention. You got some older people here that have been faithful their whole lives. But y'all that are older, you're not in the grave yet, and you can still blow it. You can still blow it. So be very, very careful. I like the resolution tonight. Huh? Let's hold one another what? Accountable. Speak the truth, but do it in love. That's what Ephesians says. Speak the truth, but do it in love. Well, I can take a lot of things from somebody that I know loves me. I can take a lot of things from somebody that I know loves me. Right now. How many shots did Moses get at it, people? And he never got another chance. This guy's got one chance, right? Let's look what happens. Let's look what happens. Because my time's getting away from me. All right, so here we go. This old prophet sees him. The old prophet isn't called the man of God. He's a compromiser. He's there in the king's chapel. He's compromised. Now, he knows truth. This is like one of those guys down there in Winston-Salem when he saw us leave Piedmont. He came to me, and he's a well-respected person. Very high on the totem pole, one might say. And he came to me and he said, Steve, you guys at Grace are right. And you're doing things the right way, and you're not criticizing anybody, and you're not throwing stones, and you're not doing anything like that. You guys are right! And my heart's with you. But I can't come over there where you guys are because it'll cost too much. That's what this guy is. He's one of those guys. So he's staying where? Where's he staying? In Bethel. You know what the good people did? You read about it? The good people that were in Israel, they left and went south, buddy. They went down to Rehoboam's kingdom. People move across the United States for a job, but they won't move for a church. Really? Really? I would think the church is far more important than the job, wouldn't you? So here we go, and we're looking at this guy. And so this guy sends someone after him. Why? Because these kind of people can't stand it when they see someone who stands on the truth of the Word of God and leaves them without a place to hide. So you see a man that's courageous and comes stand. So he goes after this guy, and he says, hey, an angel of God told me to tell you to come back and eat and drink with me. He says, I can't do it. He says, hey, I'm a prophet just like you. No, you're not. But he blew it right there because he accepted the fact that they were just like. They weren't. He made a bad mistake. Let me ask you a question. If it's somebody you went to school with, do you understand the difference between them and you if they don't stand on the Word of God? If it's your brother or your sister, your mom or your dad, see, because that's what Deuteronomy says, do you understand the difference when they don't stand on the Word of God? Do you make a difference? Because if you don't, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And if I don't, I'll be in trouble. And see, the problem with this thing is, we can do it right for 25 years. Right? And then blow it how many times? And it's all she wrote. You don't get a second shot. When you blow people's trust and people's confidence, when you're a spiritual leader and you blow their confidence, it's all she wrote. It's gone. It scares me. It seriously scares me. I think what Paul says. He said, lest I, having preached to others, should be what? Castaway, literally in the Greek, set on a shelf. Unuseful. Not can't be used anymore. Not for what God originally ordained. Not for what He originally called. It scares me. People were too few to lose. There's not enough of us to lose somebody. Every single person that's in this room is precious. And so, this guy brings it back. He knew God's will. God's will was not his will. You have to ask yourself a question. He said he found him in verse 14 sitting under an oak. What was he doing sitting under an oak? Why didn't he hightail it back to the place of blessing in Judah? What was he sitting under an oak for? Thinking about the reward? I don't know. I really don't. The Bible doesn't say it. I'm not going to invent. I just imagine, though. What was he thinking about? It goes back and God uses the same prophet to tell him what? That's all she wrote. You're going to die. 1 Kings 20:36, we won't go there, but another prophet, he was going to talk to Ahab and he said to another one, strike me, and he didn't do it, right? He said, because you didn't do it, you get eaten by a lion. That's exactly what happened. Boy, can you imagine if that was happening today? If God was doing that kind of stuff? Now I want to close like this. I'm going to give a series of verses. And I want you to consider them really, really strongly in your life. Like I'm going to consider them in mine. These are verses that I constantly bring through my mind. What does 2 Corinthians 5:10 say? Somebody go there and read it for me. Unless you just want to hang around till midnight. I mean, it's all right. That's what I tell my church. Nobody wants to read it. We can just hang around. It's all right. 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad.
Now, you're not judging for your sins there, right? They've been taken care of. According to 1 John, they've been taken care of. They're not only our sins, but the sins of what? The whole world. So the issue is not sin. What is it? It's rewards. And the gaining or the lack of them, depending on whether we did what we did in the power of the Holy Spirit or not. Only that which was done in the power of the Holy Spirit will remain. 1 Corinthians 3, when attested by the fire. Revelation 1, the eyes of Jesus Christ are like fire, and He's going to look at those works, and if they survive, then we have gold, silver, and precious stones. If they don't, we've got wood, hay, and stubble. We're all going to stand there, people, and nobody's going to stand there with you. It's you. And you and whom? Well, John 5:22 tells you who it's going to be. What does he say? The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. It will be Jesus Christ, the same one who died on the cross for you, who redeemed you, is the one who's going to look you in the eye and say, either well done, or why didn't you do what I asked you to do? That scares me. I really don't want to hear that out of the mouth of my Lord. Steve, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? That scares me. Because if that happens to me, I'd rather die. And I told the Lord that. I would rather Him kill me than allow me to get to the place where He's going to have to say to me, why didn't you do what I told you to do? Because I should do what I want to do for Him because I love Him, right? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. We should love Him so much that we're just willing to give our lives for Him. We're willing to do this thing. And He gives us the privilege of being in ministry and having God work. Oh, man. All right, what's the criteria of the judgment? Well, John 12:48 tells you what the criteria is going to be. It's going to be the Word of God. We're going to get judged by the Word. That is forever settled in heaven, according to Psalm 119:89. It doesn't change. And He doesn't change. And then James 3:1, what does it say? My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, for we shall receive the greater condemnation. You say, boy, preacher, you're really kind of heavy-handed. People, this is what God put in my heart. So I got to preach what God told me to preach. You know, like I said, I commend y'all for where you're at, but we got to be warned. We got to take this thing serious. What we're doing. And if you're here, it's a commitment, this thing called ministry. And it's not just a commitment that you do one time back there whenever God called you. It's a constant thing, man. It's a constant, Lord. It's me, Lord, and I need prayer. I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where this church is going. I don't know where this ministry is going. I don't know where Maranatha is going. I don't know where Grace is going, Lord. But they belong to You, and You do know. And Lord, I don't have enough wisdom to make this thing fly, so I need help. Now, what did He say? You have not, why? Because you ask not. Or you have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. But 1 John 5:14 says, we have this confidence if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Wow. What a Lord. What a God. Okay? Well, I'll ask Dr. Nuttall to close us out in a word of prayer tonight.